Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Life is harder for some of us than others. The kid who had life stacked against him, Crying to the Top by Derek Reynolds, is Derek's true story about a boy who started out life without much more than his salesmanship and his grandpa telling him about how to be a man. Over the years, Derek grew into a man who found himself the single father of his two boys after his first wife fell into drug addiction and their marriage fell apart. He went from a rough start as a kid being raised by his grandparents through a failed marriage to happily being married to the love of his life and becoming a highly successful businessman and salesman while raising their four kids together. Derek Reynolds is a family man, coach, and motivational speaker, as well as a highly successful, driven college graduate and marketing professional. The kid who had life stacked against him, Crying to the Top, an inspiring story about never giving up and working hard to meet your goals. And author Derek Reynolds is our guest on This Week in America. Derek, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
What a success story, and things were really stacked against you in the beginning. And I want to take people through that that journey. Let's start with the childhood. Being poor, you did not have everything that maybe some other people had. Talk about growing up in poverty, that aspect of it.
Sure. It was times that my friends would go to the swimming pool. I couldn't go because I didn't have money to go. And I had to stay home and try to make money. So I had to go out in the neighborhood and cut yards to make money. And I always wondered why I wasn't able to do it. But I was raised by my grandparents, and they didn't really have money. They had just enough to support their family. And back then, it was survival. So back then, I just said, one of these days, I'm going to be successful. I'm tired of living like this. So I just kind of way back then put my mind together and said, I'm going to try something different. And sales is kind of what turned things around for me.
You know, that's interesting how you took that. And some people would say, okay, this is just my lot in life. And you decided you were going to change that. How difficult was it getting through the challenges of that when you were trying to work all of these jobs to make ends meet? Did that just motivate you more, or did that get to be frustrating?
Well, you know, when I, you know, went to college and things didn't work out the way it was supposed to, I just, did jobs, and I had to do something better, because I always thought once I had kids, I wouldn't be able to take them to the movies. We wouldn't be able to have extra things. You know, they wanted apples and oranges, and I just had enough money to keep the lights and water and gas going, you know. And so then working these jobs, they were dead-end jobs and working a lot of hours, and I just felt like I had to make a change.
You know, it's interesting.
So,
I
just decided to sacrifice.
Well, yeah, and that you did, and turned your life around. Our guest on the program is Derek Reynolds. The book is The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him. Easy to remember his website. It's his name, DerekReynolds.com. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Growing up as a child, and you talk about it at the beginning of the book, not real enamored with school, and you tried getting sick a lot, and they found that you actually had something wrong with you. Talk about that. You really, early grades, you didn't want to go to school, did you?
Yeah, sure. You know, I was in preschool, and I was really shy, and first time really being around kids, and I didn't know what to do, so I would go home, act like I was sick. So they would call my parents. Well, my grandmother would have to come get me, and her and my aunt. So they would come get me. So the next day I act sick again, same thing. So after continuing, I thought when I got home, this is easy. I can just act sick and get home, and I don't have to be around those kids. Well, I was taking off so much, they was coming to get me so much, they said that I had to have a note from the doctor to come back. And lo and behold, I end up having asthma. So sometimes you shouldn't be faking and trying to get out of something, because it backfired on me.
You actually had something that was wrong with you, but I guess finding out about it, you were able to sort of get it under control at that point in your life. And talk a little bit about, again, what it was like growing up in the family situation. You talk in the book about literally being thrown out of the house in the middle of the night, and you were very young when this happened. Talk about that experience. I mean, here you are a child, and you've got to figure out, okay, where do I go? What do I do?
Yes, my stepfather, it's me and my sister, actually was his stepkids. He actually wasn't our father. Him and my mom was out at a party one night, and they got got mad and got into it, actually got into a physical altercation. He gets mad and walks home. And it was about maybe 3 to 5 miles. And he gets home mad at us because we wasn't his kids and told us to get out. And we were scared. And my little sister and brother, well, my brother was young, but my sister's like, you know, I want to go with him. He said, no, y'all stay here. So when we walked out that door, it was dark. It was gloomy. And we live up a hill. And I promise it took forever to get up that hill. But, you know, thinking back, who would put out a kid at, I think it was six and seven, 4 o'clock in the morning? Man, that's something. And we ran and ran and ran. And I thought we'd never get to our grandparents' house. And my grandfather had a fit. And that's from that day on. I never went back. I lived with him forever, you know, from, you know, my young adult to my grandfather passed. But my grandfather wanted to go and do something to my stepfather. It would have been bad. Luckily his brother was in from out of town. He was staying with him. And he talked him out of it. He wouldn't let him go. So, you know, never treat your kids bad, even if they're not yours. Always be good to everybody. It's not right. And that also gave me motivation too. I always want to do better, treat kids, and that's my, I'm partial to kids right now as today. I would never let nobody do anything to a kid.
And you talk about growing up fast. That is just one of the situations that Derek talks about very honestly in his book, The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him. You'll find that he did have life stacked against him, and he came out a successful businessman, entrepreneur, who we're talking about his book on the program. You mentioned working with kids. You do some volunteer work in elementary schools. Talk about why that's so important for you to sort of give back and guide some of these kids through difficulties, many probably similar to what you went through.
Sure. You know, when I see these kids, remind me of myself, and I went to volunteer at a school. You know, they check your backgrounds, and, you know, mine passed right away. And I was mentoring three little kids, and they really, really took to me. So they wanted to do more playing than studying and doing what they need to do. I said, let's get our work out the way, and then we'll talk about things. So I remember the last day that I was there, and I had a Suburban. It was pretty souped up, had some tires on it, really nice. And it was right there by the library. And I told the kids, that's my vehicle there. And they were like, oh, we want to go ride. Let's leave now. I'm like, no, we in school. And I said, I also brought you guys a prize today. And they were like, really, you want to see it? I said, well, let's finish doing our work. And after we got through, I bought them all a big bag of chips. And I swear, it seemed like I gave them $1 million. They were so happy. they thought, you know, I gave them the world. And that just made me feel good to know kids really need help out here, you know.
Yes.
And it's not about you just getting yours. You need to give back.
Well, and you talk in the book about your grandfather in particular being raised by your grandparents, and you yes. sort of, in working with these kids, know there's a time for work, there's a time for play. You really learned that from your grandparents, didn't you? That when
yes.
it came time to work, it was pretty serious work that you had to do.
Yes. I remember on one occasion, I was working at a institute that helped poor kids in the summer as a program, and I was working there and I was making my money. And one time they taught me how to wax a floor. We had to shellac and do all that. It was hard work. And so I came home and told my grandfather, I said, I quit. I'm not going back. He said, not only are you not going to quit, you're going to be the first one there tomorrow. He loaded my bike up and took me to work and had me right in front of the building. I was there when the first person came in. And I think back to what he did. I was mad. I thought he was just so hard on me. But now I'm glad he did that. You know, hard work pays off. You know, he wasn't being mean to me. He was just trying to show me one day he's not going to be here. So now I have to become the man. So I taught my kids the same protocol on how to, when you want to get something, you got to work hard for it. Never give up.
Well, it served you well, and as they're coming to open up, they've got to walk by a little Derek who's been there for a while waiting to get in and go to work, and that has to make an impression on people. Derek Reynolds, our guest on the program, his book is The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him, Crying to the Top. His website is derekreynolds.com. Back to talking about youth, and that's sort of a theme that you have in reaching down back and helping these kids. Youth coordinator in your church. Talk about that, because this is another way to give back.
Yes. My minister, you know, he said he prayed on it, and he wanted a young family to show the young kids that in the African-American families that there are people that are doing good. So he prayed on it, so he made me the youth coordinator, and he wanted the kids to see a young couple married, you know, me and my wife, and I did pretty good. It was a learning experience, And kids come told me some things that maybe I really didn't need to know. But, you know, I gave them examples of how I dealt with it. And on one occasion, one kid was telling me about his parents kind of got into it physically, you know, and I was like, hey, that's not your fault. And they got a divorce. And I'm like, you know, just be there for both parents. But, you know, take care of your mom. You know, so it's not your fault. He really appreciated it because he thought maybe they got a divorce because of him, and it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, and so often kids don't have anybody to talk to, and that stays with them through life. That mom and dad might have been together. It was something I did that created that friction in the marriage. Yes. There's something special when you have that bond. And talk about that, because you mentioned they probably said things they shouldn't have, but that's good because they opened up to you, and they could let you know what's going on, and you could guide them. That's not the case with every adult they work with. They felt that confidence in you. They felt that they could go to you and talk. Was that because they sort of sensed you've been through what they're going through now?
Yes, you know, they can relate. You know, people give them different situations and stories. But, you know, when I talk to a lot of young guys, they were like, I didn't have a dad. And then I turn around, I didn't have one either. And I'm like, wow, okay, I did this. I was able to go to school and finish school without a dad. And it was like, wow, you know, what do? You know, you try to gravitate to whatever man you have. You know, my real dad was never around. So that's why my grandfather took place. But he died on the day I graduated high school, the same day. So, you know, I look at it now, I got like five dads, you know, guys in my church. I reached to them and asked them, what did they do when they was my age? How did they deal with family life? So I gravitate to older people, and younger people come to me. But guess what? Now I'm the older person now. So
so they looked at Derek for advice, and he has this that he's now sharing, not just with people at his church, but people worldwide through his book that's doing exceptionally well, The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him. His website, DerekReynolds.com. Book available, of course, Amazon, usual places, and we'll have a link on our website. You started a very successful pharmaceutical career. Talk about that. I mentioned in the beginning, you always felt you had the ability to be a salesman. You get a pharmaceutical career, been very successful at that. Talk about how that all came about and how being a salesman, I guess in a way, really lets you dictate your own success. It's pretty much in your hands.
Sure. I always wondered, I found out sales was a thing I like to do. And it was hard to get in pharmaceutical sales. And I talked to different people, and they said you have to have sales experience. I didn't. So I read, they told me about one guy, so I talked to him, but he was telling me that, you know, you have to have experience in sales. Maybe go to Payless, which is no Payless around anymore, but go do something in sales. But I needed two more semesters of school. So once I completed school, I returned back to talk to the gentleman. Well, after I got my degree, then I didn't have the sales experience. So I showed up at his house, which he didn't know I was coming. And I knocked on the door and showed him all this, you know, awards that I won and all the other things I did. And, you know, he was like, well, come on in, and told his wife, you know, this young man came to the house, he wanted a chance. And when I left, he told me, he said, you know, I have to give this guy a chance to come over my house. I don't know him, and he's determined. So, you know, in life, I always had to do the extra. So that was my end into getting into sales. And I also would show up at doctor's office with a resume, you know, pass it out when I seen reps. Hey, if y'all hiring, would you please give me a look? You know, I have my degree now, you know, so you can't get in unless you have a degree. So that was one of my accomplishments that I was very proud of. And I was also proud that I didn't give up. And that was the reason I was able to get in pharmaceutical sales.
And a number of President's Club Awards in selling in pharmaceuticals. So it proved for the pharmaceutical company that hiring you was good. It actually worked out very well, and you're thriving at that. Talk about this graduating college that you threw in there as you were attempting to get this job. Here's a kid not that many years ago. You're 4 years old. You're faking sickness so you don't have to be in school. Now you're going back to college and getting a degree. Talk about what that was like and the great feeling that you had to have of satisfaction when you had that college degree in your hand.
Well, you know, before I got my degree and before, you know, my grandfather died, he told me, you know, you're not college material. You need to go to the military. And that's something I didn't want to do. And I had a cousin was in the military. And he told me the military was not for a black man. And I'm like, what? He said, you know, you don't need to come in there. And he said, if you do, I'm going to jump on you. You know, so I'm like 18, and my cousin was a pretty big dude. And here's my grandpa, the one that raised me, saying, you need to go to the military. And I was like, you know, I don't know what to do. So when he died, you know, I didn't have anybody to pay for my gas. You know, he bought my first car. So the day he died, I become a man. I had no choice. So I said, you know, I'm gonna go to college. Even though he told me I wasn't qualified to do that, and I did it. Well, I also went to college on academic probation. I had to go before a board to prove that I could maintain in college. And I got in. So everything I had to do in life, I had to prove myself. And right now, I never give up. And the only way I give up is if I'm 6 foot under. I never quit.
Well, the name of the book is The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him, and that really there's so many stacks that Derek has to overcome in his life. And you go from really not having much of anything in the beginning to forming an investment club with several people. Talk about that. You not only are doing well financially, you got a little extra money you'd like to invest in working with other people in doing that. Talk about the investment club that you helped start.
Sure. You know, when I was able to... Before I started the investment club, you know, I prayed to God that, you know, if whatever increase I got, I would share with others. Well, one night it came up on me and I called a friend and we started investment club. We're doing pretty well. And then beyond that, I have wrote another book and it'll be coming out soon. It's called Snake and the Doctor. It's a fiction book. And I'm also starting a new business, a life coaching business. You know, I just feel like I have a lot to give back to others. And it's not really about making money. It's about giving back. And you get a lot of satisfaction from that, you know, sharing with others and the knowledge and the things you had to go through. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, I got mine. Other people got to get theirs. No, it's not that about me. I want to teach you how to get yours also. It's out there. And never be satisfied and never be arrogant and greedy. Just give back to others.
Well, you're doing that with the book, and you've got the second book that we'll talk about here in a second as well, mention when that is going to come out. But when you talk about the motivation to write The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him, for some people, it would be somewhat painful to go back and look at some of these experiences, all of the challenges, the struggle, everything you had stacked against you. How difficult was it to sit down and to write this book?
Yes, I had a lady tell me, you know, you need to get your story out there. She said, it's not about if that book make money. That, you know, when you go on, your kids' kids, and your grandkids, way on down, they'll know who their grandfather was. And it's leaving a heritage behind. And I wanted people to know about the struggle because when I started writing the book, I don't know how many times I stopped because of the pain. It's just as we're talking about it now, I feel that pain, what I went through. Yes. That's my story. And when I finished the book, I had my wife to read it, and I kind of turned my back so I could just see what it sounded like. And I was like, okay, why you stop reading? Well, she was over there crying. You know, it's heartfelt. You know, this is something that a person actually went through. And so many times I could have gave up. Even when they told me even when I was 4 years old, you know, I could have gave up and act like I was sick and didn't go back to school. So it was so many times I could have gave up in life, but this book inspired me. And even today, things ain't always perfect. I look back and said, this is my life. You did this. So no matter what you go through, it's never going to be as tough as it was when you were coming up. So that motivates me.
Well, as a motivational speaker, you have to have great credibility because you've overcome so much to get where you are. Sometimes a motivational speaker is somebody that grew up in a decent household. Two parents, they go off to an Ivy League or an elite school, and they're telling me about success. And it's like, what do you know about success? I mean, you had it easier than most people. You did not. Is that what you think really makes you so successful as a motivational speaker, that you had to overcome a lot to get in front of those people to talk to them about success?
Yes, I have a lot of different stories to tell. I just remember still when I was a kid, even when the ice cream man went by, I just see him with the bells ringing. I'm like, you know, you're not going to get anything. And also, I remember when I was in college for 2 years, one of my aunts said she knew I liked Sonic. She said, hey, I'm sending $2 and go get you a Sonic footlong. And back then, I'm sure I think they were like $1.20 or whatever it was.
Yes.
That's the
yes.
only money I ever got in 2 years from college. So when you average that out, I'd really got a dollar a year. Who can make it on a dollar a year in college?
Wow.
I was hungry, but I stayed focused. You know, if I had a picture to show you when I was in college, I was pretty small. I was a thin guy because I was persevering I had the passion and I wasn't going to quit.
Well, and you shared that story so well. Derek Reynolds, our guest on the program, the book is The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him, Crying to the Top. It's available wherever books are sold. Send it to Amazon. Actually, I'll send you to Derek's website. So much information there, DerekReynolds.com. Mention the entrepreneur aspect, the motivational speaking that you do. You're there to help other people. And if they go to the website, I'm sure you've got an area there where they can get in contact with you, and you can attempt to help them.
Sure can. You know, if they can just go to my website anytime, I'll be glad to help you. And I know it's going to be times people can't pay, and I'm even willing to help some that can't pay, because I want to see people get there. And if you can just save one, you've done your job.
What is it like when you're dealing with, and I can just imagine the young kids in church and in school that you're able to relate to, and they leave, maybe as they're coming to talk with you, they're a little down about their situation in life, and you have them smiling as they're leaving, and they're seeing Derek's story, and they're thinking, maybe I can too be like Derek. What is it when you extend that hand out to people, they take it and they follow your route to success?
Sure. Even kids, even adults. First thing I ask them, what goals have you had set? What goals do you have set? A lot of them don't even know what that is. And I say, you know, write goals down. And it's like a roadmap. It's like on the road. Follow that. And then after you succeed that, then you need to write more. And me and my wife, what we did is, when we was having hard times, we watched a movie. It was a lady that said, you know, take your prayer and write it out and then put it in your closet. And we did that. And everything that we put on there came to fruition. And I was like, wow, it really works. You know, take it to God. I know a lot of people don't believe in God, but God is the answer. You know, when you down, talk to him. He can hear you. It don't matter where you at. And if you don't want to talk to God, talk to somebody that you see that's successful. Most people will help. There are some that like don't want to be bothered, but I'm the person, whenever you need help, I'm there for you.
We got a minute or so left. Talk about change. You talk about giving people the inspiration to make change. For so many people, change is scary. I can't do change. I'm comfortable here. The thought of changing frightens me. How difficult is it to change?
Well, change is very difficult. You have to, you got to try it. You know, you're going to fail. I don't know a person that have went through this world and not had a problem yet. You're going to have, things going to happen, but that's part of your growth. And I had a manager, she told me, you know, I see Derek, you're at the top of the sales all the time, but no one in the company know about you. And I said, well, I don't want nobody to know me. Well, I didn't want anybody to know about me. She said, well, that's going to change. I'm going to get your name out there. You want more people to know about you so you can help more people. I always wanted to be quiet, but no, you want to help. So try something. If it don't work, try it again. You got to keep trying, because if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results.
If somebody says, boy, that sounds like everything is going his way now, I assume you still have those downtimes where you want something, you're unable to close on that, and you've got to realize that's life. Nobody's ever batted 1,000 here. I pick it up, pull it together, and I go off and I try somewhere else. How difficult is that for you and for all of us to go through failures? Because we all fail every day.
Yes, I still deal with it today. If I try something, it don't work out for me, I get a little frustrated. But, you know, write it out. That way you can look at it, get it out your mind and say, okay, I want to do this. Okay, if that don't work, you always have to have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. If A's not working, try B. Okay, B will work for a while, and you go to C. And then after a while, C don't work. Then you got to get that plan A back. And you always got to have something working for you and think ahead of time. Don't wait till it happen right then and then try to fix it. Work on it. Always be looking ahead. Even if you're working this day and time, you get laid off. If you don't have a degree, okay, what am I going to do? I look in the newspaper, there's 500 people looking for the same job.
Yes.
So maybe change careers. Try something different. Because if that's what you always did, it's not working anymore. So try something different. Don't be afraid. I failed a lot of times.
Great advice coming from the kid who had life stacked against him, overcoming all of those odds and still overcoming those today. With us, our guest has been Derek Reynolds. His book is called The Kid Who Had Life Stacked Against Him. You'll find it Amazon, the usual places, and I'll send you to Derek's website, DerekReynolds.com. All this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Derek, a pleasure having you on the program, and it's so important what you're doing is sharing this message with so many people, young and old, Thank you for being with us and talking about your past and getting through all of these obstacles on the program today. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you, and I appreciate your time, and thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. Derek Reynolds, our guest, the kid who had life stacked against him. All the information on his website, DerekReynolds.com. We're back on This Week in America after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.